Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Welcome again to Shanghai Community Fellowship. We're so glad that you are with us online today. And it was so nice to see so many people at the spring gathering last week. And it was just a reminder that it's so different. You know, like sometimes people would say, oh, we have the online and we are so thankful for the different tools that we have to be able to do this every Sunday. But nothing beats coming together in person. So especially if you've been here in Shanghai or if you're here in Shanghai right now, make sure that you get connected. Find a small group, come and talk to us. You can email me at comgroups@scfenglish.com or admin@scfenglish.com to get more information about the things that are happening with SCF in this time. So again, as I was saying, if you've been here in Shanghai, if you're here last year around this time, you probably remember that this is the 1 year mark of us kind of supposed to have started our 4 days turned into 2 months lockdown last year in the spring. And maybe for some of you, you kind of like, it's a memory that you want to forget, but I still remember recording the intro for Palm Sunday last year from my bedroom. And I am so glad that we are here today at the office, able to do this online. But as we think about last year, there are so many things that are happening. One of them was also the death of Queen Elizabeth II. And in September that year, last year, according to BBC, about 28 million people in the UK alone watched Queen Elizabeth II's funeral on TV. And she was the longest reigning monarch in British history, more than 70 years on the throne. Tens of thousands of people also showed up from around the world to queue up to pay their respects in person by visiting her coffin in the few days before her funeral. Queen Elizabeth's reign was marked by her strong sense of duty and her determination to dedicate her life to her throne and to her people. So no wonder so many people came to pay their respects and admiration. So today, as we come together on Palm Sunday, we come to remember, not to forget, like what we want to forget some things that happened last year, but to remember the significance of the event that happened around this time of the triumphal entry of Jesus in Jerusalem. And I just wanted to take some time to recognize the one who impacted and continues to impact the lives of Jews and Gentiles alike, our King Jesus. We will talk about what it means to be a citizen under the kingdom of God and Jesus' Lordship. So let's firstly pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for remembrance. Lord, remember the things, Lord, taking this time of the year, Lord, during Lent season, Lord, to stop and think about the sacrifice that Jesus has done on the cross for us, Lord. And as we take this time, Lord, we pray for deeper understanding, Lord, for a deeper a hunger and desire to know you more, Lord. And as we talk about Jesus' triumphal entry, Lord, we pray for the understanding of what he meant for us, Lord, as he was taking his place as king. We thank you so much for bringing us together, to giving us the opportunity to remember, Lord, and continually, Lord, seek after you. We thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And as I was saying, the biblical story of Palm Sunday is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And when you say, you know, when it's in the Bible, it's something important, but if it talks about it four times in four different books, it's really, 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 really important. So 5 days before the Passover, Jesus came from Bethany to Jerusalem. Having sent two of his disciples to bring him a colt of a donkey, Jesus sat upon it and entered the city. And the occasion that people were there, they were gathered in Jerusalem for the Passover. And what is the Passover? A Jewish tradition of remembering what God had done for the Israelites in freeing them from slavery in Egypt and the passing over of the forces of destruction while having the Israelites' firstborns being spared. So it's a time of celebration, it's a time of remembrance of what God has already done. So as people were looking for Jesus, both because of his great works and teaching, They were also looking for them for him because they heard of the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus. So when they heard that Christ was entering the city, they went on to meet him with palm branches, laying their garments on the ground before him and shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And there are two important reasons of why this is such a significant event. Jesus' triumphal entry is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Just as God has already fulfilled his promises, he continues to fulfill his promises and will in the future fulfill every single promise and prophecy that he has ever made. It is in Zechariah 9:9 and in Isaiah 62:11. And today, as we were reading the passage, that was Zechariah 9:9. That was, being read again. So our God is a promise keeper, a prophecy fulfiller. The triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem is a messianic event through which his divine authority was declared. At Jesus' triumphal entry, he was taking his place as the rightful king. When the people shouted, "Hosanna," they were hailing Christ as king. That word, Hosanna, actually means save now. And though in their own minds they waited for an earthly king with military power to take over the throne, God had a different way of bringing true salvation to all who would trust in him. King Jesus humbly sat on a donkey's colt and entered the gates leading to a week of mocking, scorning, beating, and ultimately sacrificing his life on the cross. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But we cannot talk about Jesus as king without talking about his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Throughout Jesus' public ministry, he proclaimed the kingdom of God. In Mark 1:15, it says, "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." The kingdom of God and the powers of the age to come were already active in the present age. In Luke 7:18-22, it says, "John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?' When the men came to Jesus, they said, 'John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?' At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, 'Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor.'" So how do we become part of this new kingdom? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is not only the one who rules over this kingdom, he is also the one through whom we enter it. Because the kingdom of God begins in the heart, there is only one way to gain access to the kingdom. There must be a change in our hearts. Here is how Jesus puts it. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again," born into this new kingdom. Unless we are born again, we will have no access to the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that begins when we are born again into this kingdom and surrender lordship to God in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is real and is one with a real king. In the book of Matthew, it's clear that this kingdom is not fully realized on earth as we know it, but will reach completion when we see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The second coming of Jesus. The kingdom of God has both present and future implications. In our present stage, the kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom. It is a spiritual one. It is not about land or territory, but it begins in our own hearts. Until then, the kingdom of God lives in us and through our lives. So what does it mean to be a citizen of God's kingdom? And as a foreigner in Shanghai, you probably know that carrying a document like this, this is my passport. I am a Brazilian citizen, was born and raised there. But you know that this is an important document. It's something that tells you something, you know, like, and throughout this year, you know that you need this to come and go, to buy a ticket, to even have a WeChat pay account. So in so many ways, this represents our citizenship. And one definition that you can find about what citizenship means, it says, relationship between an individual and a state to which the individual owes allegiance and in turn is entitled to its protection. Citizenship implies the status of freedom with accompanying responsibilities. So without a formal citizenship, stateless people do not have protection and access to fundamental rights and essential services as someone with a nationality would. So it's, when you talk about refugees and people that do not have a proper place to tie themselves into, that's what it means to not have a citizenship to carry with you. You lose so much of your fundamental rights. So our citizenship in the kingdom of God is a present reality and is in a spiritual sense for those who believe in the gospel in that God rules over us already. As such, we are subject to all the laws and responsibilities of being part of God's kingdom entails. When Christ returns and sets up his government on earth, the gospel will have prepared us for rulership with him. So this is a season of preparation. So our role right now is to be watching for, praying for, and expecting its fullness at any time. You can read more about that in Matthew 24, verses 32 to 44. It is truly the second coming, the expectation of the second coming of Jesus. So what we see then is that the gospel of the kingdom of God is a general term that covers more than just an announcement of God's kingdom. It contains the teaching about the soon coming establishment of God's government on the earth, as well as his present rule over those God has called, over you and me, over those who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. It includes instruction for preparing us for our responsibilities in his kingdom, particularly regarding character development and spiritual maturity as we become more like Jesus. So do not take this time as like, yes, you know, we kind of go through life and there will be the kingdom of God like they're farther from us. But it's really near and it's a preparation time. What we do here matters for what is coming next. In God's kingdom citizenship, we are under Jesus' lordship. This means that we willingly live our lives by his commands and our lives are guided by his word. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." In God's kingdom citizenship, we are under God's protection. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So this does not mean that we won't face hardships or pain in this life, because God has not set up his physical kingdom in the earth yet. However, we can be confident of this, knowing that as a citizen of God's kingdom, our salvation is safe and protected in Christ. In God's kingdom citizenship, we are under God's provision. So do not worry saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. because we are surrendered to His Lordship. That means we gain access to His resources. Since we belong to Him, He will use His resources to take care of us. Under God's and under kingdoms, His kingdom's citizenship, we surrender to God's purpose. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And surrender to God's Lordship means surrender to His will and His agenda. Jesus Himself surrendered to His Father's will when He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. While there are so many very specific things that God will want us to do in accomplishing His will, He's unique for each and every one of us, you know, His purpose and calling. There are some things that we know are part of His desire for every Christian. So here we go. Preaching, teaching, praying, obeying. God's will and purpose for every Christian. Preaching, to get the message of the gospel into the world. And this does not mean, you know, you have to come here on Sunday and preach for a lot of people every Sunday. That's not what it meant by saying preaching. But we are willing to share with those who don't know Christ yet the good news. So we put ourselves in places where we are proclaiming the good news all over the world. Teaching to make disciples. Relationships that we have with one another that go into understanding and reading and studying the Word of God, and how do you live your life, encouraging one another, correcting one another, caring for one another, making disciples of all nations. Praying to build our relationship with God is a daily thing. It's a life in dialogue with God. It's bringing Him into every part of your life, starting and ending your day in prayer. Obeying to shine His light and to point others to Him. And our obedience doesn't just affect us, it affects others around us. There's so much that happens when we step in and accept and follow His lead and obey His calling. You might not even realize how much your obedience might affect someone else. Preaching, teaching, praying, obeying. There are times that I talk to people about, like, oh, I don't know what is my calling. I don't know my spiritual gifts. But there are things that God has called us to do. And we should. Preaching, teaching, praying, obeying. And if kings and queens have been recognized by their strong sense of duty and determination to dedicate their lives to their throne and to their people, how much more should we recognize the one King who has given His life for you and for me? So I have a little palm branch here in my hands today. And this is a reminder for us, as Jesus takes His rightful place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our hearts. Psalm 118:27-29. The Lord is God, and He has made His light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. So I'll leave you with these questions today. Are you willing to recognize Jesus as Lord over your life? And are you willing to embrace your citizenship in the kingdom of God? Our ultimate reward of being a citizen of God's kingdom is knowing that we will spend eternity in the presence of the King of Kings and get to enjoy the benefits of His kingdom forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come today, Lord, and as we recognize Jesus' triumphal entry, Lord, and as He takes His rightful place as King, Lord, we pray for that rightful place in our own lives. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we walk in understanding that He is King and He is Lord over all. But we pray, Lord, that you continue to show us the way to live out our citizenship as people of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Help us, Lord, to walk in your ways, Lord, and to obey your commands, Lord, and to continue to see your kingdom in us and through us. We praise your holy name. We continue to proclaim, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.